more.
Senator Marco Rubio, President-elect Trump's nominee for Secretary of State, and Congressman Mike Waltz, his nominee for National Security Advisor, are known as the Florida faction when it comes to foreign policy. The president-elect has vowed to hold China accountable on issues like trade, which could include additional tariffs. The president of Taiwan, who's dealt with continued hostilities from China, says she deeply appreciates Rubio's, quote, staunch support for Taiwan and tireless efforts to defend freedom and human rights globally. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Donald Trump is filling his cabinet and laying out his agenda 1 week out from the election. Steve Jordahl has a look at so-called day one items.
Shortly after being sworn in, Donald Trump will sign a slew of executive orders undoing Joe Biden's worst policies. Look for the U.S. to pull out of the World Health Organization and the Paris Climate Accords. The travel ban from dangerous countries is likely to return. But Trump's boldest actions will start with the dismantling of the deep state that tormented him in his first term.
I will immediately reissue my 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats, and I will wield that power very aggressively.
Trump is rolling out 10 steps he plans on taking to drain the swamp, including stopping the weaponization of the Justice Department.
We will clean out all of the corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus.
He promises to reform FISA courts, and he's going to open up the books.
We will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and corruption.
Trump says he'll move government agencies out of Washington, D.C. in order to balance the federal workforce, and he's going to put an end to government censorship of free speech.
We will launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with the fake news. When possible, we will press criminal charges.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
As President Trump heads back to the White House, he wants to create a Department of Government Efficiency office headed by ex-owner Elon Musk and former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Grady Trimble tells us more.
Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are putting the more than 2 million people who work for the federal government on notice. And as heads of this new Department of Government Efficiency, they're already proposing some cuts. Ramaswamy posted on X that the new presidential commission will go after diversity, equity, and inclusion roles within the Department of Health and Human Services, saying Biden's HHS has gone wild on DEI. An efficient government has no place for DEI bloat, he says. Time to doge it. And Elon Musk has suggested some non-government organizations that receive money from the federal government may no longer be eligible for that.
Officials from the Justice Department today revealing the findings of an investigation into Fulton County, Georgia's jail conditions. U.S. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark telling reporters in Atlanta their investigation found unconstitutional and dangerous conditions that jeopardize the lives of those being held there, adding, the sheriff's office does not adequately protect inmates from violence by other detainees.
In 2023 alone, we identified 314 stabbings and more than 1,000 assaults. This rate of violence exceeds what we've seen in other cities across the country.
The House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic holding a hearing today, reflecting on lessons learned from the pandemic. Chairman Brad Winthrop of Ohio says that institutions like the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention need to avoid straying from their designated duties.
NIAID is entrusted with vaccine development, while the CDC is tasked with controlling and containing the spread of diseases. Throughout the pandemic, NIAID encroached into CDC's lane by advising on matters pertaining to containing the spread, creating confusion among the American people.
More news online at AFN.net and on the AFN mobile app. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, with you on this Thursday. And, you know, it's starting to feel like one of those, what's the best sports analogy here? It's like this one team just, you know, just shunned, kicked out some of their best players for whatever silly reason. And those best players went over to another team. And now that team's coach is just rubbing it in, man. I mean, I'm like, you know, starting pitcher, starting players, leadoff hitter, whatever. The Trump troll right now of the left is absolutely hilarious and amazing. I mean, think about it. He's taking the very people, like Tulsi Gabbard, that the Democrats ran off. They could have had, I mean, honestly, Tulsi Gabbard would probably be president-elect right now if the Democrats had not been so foolish. If Joe Biden had chosen Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate, they'd actually made a choice for running mate based on merit instead of all the DEI didn't earn it requirements, then they would probably have her as the president-elect right now getting ready and she be the one choosing the administration right now. But because Democrats are foolish and because they choose these Marxist ridiculous ideas that always fail, they ran her out of the party into the welcome open arms of the Republicans and of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has now named her as his national security advisor. Get this now. I mean, she has been literally under investigation by the same agencies that she is now going to hold accountable. I just think that's hilarious. I think it's hilarious. I think it's powerful. I think it's poetic. I think it's a Mordecai moment. I mean, this is just so cool. And she's also, I mean, she's also brilliant. And she's smart. She's beautiful. She's like confident when she walks in the room. She doesn't need your approval. She doesn't need she doesn't have all these insecurities that Harris obviously has, right? She doesn't have to cackle to cover up for her insecurities. She doesn't have to act sassy and rude and bossy in order to cover up for her insecurities because she doesn't have them. This is a woman that has been very successful in politics and the military and all of these different areas and has managed to gracefully and in an effective way switch parties and become an advocate for the principles that frankly Democrats used to stand for the most part, at least the average Democrat voter and Republicans, the basic American ideals. And that's a big part of what pushed her away was the left just going crazy and taking over the Democrat Party. So anyway, that's just one example. So Tulsi's, you know, now going to take on a position that is an ultimate troll. And then the big one that everybody's talking about right now, Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Now, this one has the left just, I mean, they're losing their minds. They really are. They just can't stand it. This is a guy that has been a thorn in their side and in Republican leadership's side. This is a guy that has had no problem taking on in committee hearings anyone from, you know, FBI director to Merrick Garland to you name it. And then being willing to take on Kevin McCarthy and Republicans as well and not care. And my favorite, I think, of all is when he, with that clip that's going around right now, I don't think we should play it, but it's a clip where he's basically, this reporter is like, well, you make it sound like, you know, the people that are pushing for abortion are ugly overweight women. And he said, yeah. And they said, well, what if those people are offended? And he said, be offended. I mean, just without blinking. All right. Anyway, that's the guy we're talking about for Attorney General. And it just has the left losing their minds. But it also has some people on the right not very happy. I've received several texts. We've watched some of the people on, you know, television and social media saying, you know, this guy's not qualified, or he's not, you know, doesn't have enough experience, or he's too much of a firebrand, or he's too much of a disruptor, and yada, 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 yada. I don't care. I think it's great. I think it is one of the best moves Trump has made so far in the chess game that Trump is playing. And what I mean by that is whether or not Getz even gets confirmed, whether or not this even ends up happening, it absolutely shakes up the establishment. It is his way, it's Donald Trump's way of saying to the Republicans in Washington, D.C., game over, not business as usual, the swamp is being drained. This is him literally opening the valve to drain the swamp. This is just, of all the appointments so far, this one I enjoy more than any of them. Because of what it does to upset the apple carts. Because it basically says, new game in town, new sheriff in town. And I would not be surprised. I would not put it past Donald Trump to appoint, if the Senate refuses to approve him and make it official. Okay, fine. We'll just make him, you know, something. I don't know. I don't even know what the assistant, deputy, whatever titles are that don't require Senate approval. But whatever, however low on the rung you got to go to get a position that's not going to have Senate approval, and then just don't appoint anybody else. Don't appoint an AG. So then he's acting AG. Who cares if he gets the title? Just go after the corruption in the Department of Justice. I mean, let's not forget, folks, so any of these self-righteous Republicans in the Senate right now that are saying they're not going to vote for Matt Getz to be approved as Attorney General, let's look and see if they approve Merrick Garland. If they voted for Merrick Garland, how in the world can they justify not voting for Matt Getz? I'm sure there's some of them that will do it just out of spite because they hate him. They hate him because he calls them on the carpet. He points out the hypocrisy. And he's probably got all kinds of junk on him, and they claim to have all kinds of things on him that are going to come out in here. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe. Maybe not. But I just love the bull in the China closet right now. I mean, this is what is needed. And I know we have to govern. Now, we're going to hear that a million times over the next few months. You can't just have disruptors. You have to govern. Yeah, exactly. We will. They will. But right now, I love the disruptor. I love the upsetting of the apple cart. I love the bull in the China closet. Why? Because let's not forget what these people have been doing to us for the last 4 years. They have weaponized the federal government. This agency that Matt Getz has been nominated to run is the agency that has been barging in on pro-lifers at 5 o'clock in the morning, pointing guns at their children as they arrest pro-lifers. This agency is the same agency that has been putting pro-lifers in jail for 3, 5, 7 years. This agency is the same agency that has completely destroyed the concept of blind justice, equal justice. This is the agency that has manipulated the legal process in Washington, D.C., a 98% Democrat area with these juries that are going to convict any Republican that they bring forward, and these judges that have manipulated the process and allowed the DOJ to completely manipulate and just destroy justice. That's the agency we're talking about here. These are the people, Merrick Garland as the Attorney General, and this agency, the Department of Justice, are the ones that made you the terrorist. You're a terrorist if you show up at a school board meeting and say, I'd like for my daughter to not be raped in the bathroom because you're letting guys go into the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and showers. This is the agency that called you the crazy person, or called your daughter the bad person because they didn't want a guy undressing in front of them in the locker room. That's the Department of Justice that Donald Trump just said, I'm sending Matt Getz over there to clean house. And I love it. I absolutely love it. So to all those people wringing their hands and all worried about this, hey, just enjoy the show for a little while. Enjoy the show. We are only 1 week in. I'm still just pinching myself. I mean, every day. Well, it's been 8 days since the election. And already it is mayhem in Washington, D.C. as these federal bureaucrats that bring nothing good to the economy or to the nation, but just are an albatross around the neck of the economy and small business owners and anybody that just wants to live a decent life. They are running for cover, hiding under desks. Of course, I'm being facetious, but they're literally like, you know, trying to keep from getting fired. You know, what in what world do you get protection from ever being fired? That's these people. You know, we pass these absurd laws that allow them to just thumb their nose at any authority whatsoever and say, I've got civil service protection. I get to keep my job forever, no matter how lousy an employee I am and how much of a political hack I am. I mean, think about these, you know, the thing with the FEMA deal where they're, you know, telling people to skip any house with a Trump sign, and even though they're could potentially be dying inside the home from starvation or needing water or whatever it is. I mean, that's how evil these people are. And so, yes, send in Matt Gaetz. Yes, send in Tulsi Gabbard. Yes, send in all of these disruptors that will absolutely shake this house and then rebuild. But you cannot let these people think for a minute that it's going to be business as usual, or that they're going to be able to weather the storm, that somehow they'll survive 2 years until the Democrats can hopefully get control of the House and at least then, you know, slow down what Donald Trump's trying to do. No. You have to press the gas now, and you go full steam ahead on every front, and that's what they're doing. That's why I'm so excited, folks, because I've never seen a Republican administration or a Republican leadership of any kind at any level move like this. This is what we've always wanted. This is what I've always dreamed of seeing, is that Republicans would not just win an election, but they would turn around and absolutely use the power of what they've been elected to do and the position that they've been elected to fill, actually use that power to move as fast as possible to take ground back, because that's what the left has done for 80 years in this country. Every time they got a hold of any position of power, they pressed the gas and they took as much ground as possible. And that's why they own every institution in America right now, from entertainment to journalism, media, education, business, all these Fortune 500 boardrooms now, and every political institution in the country at the federal level, and almost every one of them at the state level as well. And now all of a sudden you have someone who they tried to assassinate twice, who they have tried to destroy financially, his reputation. Everything that they've done to them has done nothing but radicalize him to finally do what should have been done every time Republicans won elections. But finally we have somebody that is willing to do it. And he's surrounding himself with warriors that will do the same thing. People like Tulsi Gabbard. People like Matt Gaetz, RFK, Elon Musk. It's absolutely remarkable. Tom Holman. I mean, this is folks. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of things we could pick apart and complain about, and maybe you don't like a particular appointee that he's made, but I'm telling you, overall, this is incredible. Now, obviously, we have to get to the business of actually getting it done, and the Senate Majority Leadership position and election that happened yesterday. They chose Thune. Thankfully, they did not choose Cornyn. Cornyn would have been the worst choice they could make. And thankfully, and I have to make a correction from what I said Tuesday. I don't know if it's a correction, because I'm 99% sure I did see that Ted Cruz was going to support Thune. But he switched yesterday and came out, or I got bad information. But he made it very clear yesterday morning that he had supported Rick Scott 2 years ago, that he's been trying to overthrow McConnell for a while, and that he was absolutely supporting Rick Scott yesterday in the vote. So thank you, Ted Cruz, and I apologize if I got that information wrong on Tuesday and saying that you had come out for Thune. Anyway, bottom line is Thune ended up winning. That's better than Cornyn, not as good as Scott, but we'll see. We'll see if the pressure is on and we can make the Senate do the right thing and get the MAGA agenda passed. Much, much more to talk about, more of these appointees as well. And you, what are you going to do as we start taking back ground in this country? Stay with me, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wild and Rick Green.
This Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. As David prepared to face Goliath, Saul tried to outfit David with Saul's personal armor. But David didn't have Saul's armor when he faced the lion or the bear. And David recognized that he didn't need the armor to slay Goliath. Today, many Christians yield to the temptation to be hipper, cooler, even a little fuzzy on the clear teachings of Scripture in order to face the Goliaths of our day. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. We don't need a cool light show to be effective ambassadors for Christ. All we need is to offer what we have freely received. We know the transforming power of Christ because he has transformed us.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Frank Turek.
Evolution describes what does behave, not what ought to behave, right? It doesn't give you oughts, it just gives you what does happen.
Todd Herman.
God always uses evil for good. He's very intentional, and he intentionally chose you to live through times such as these.
And more. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit. Enter code EARLYBIRD20 at checkout for 20% off tickets before January 1st.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here at the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Let's run down a few more of these nominees. I keep saying appointees, but they're actually just nominees at this point and not even officially nominees since he hasn't taken office yet. But lots of interesting ones in here. A lot of really good ones in here. Some that make you scratch your head, but then when you really start thinking about it, you realize, man, this guy is definitely playing chess, not checkers. And I'm telling you, I'm more hopeful than I've ever been. But before I get to more appointments, the nominees, again, I'm messing that one up. Phone number is 888-589-8840. If you'd like to join me in this conversation, 888-589-8840. And how about Joe Biden? All smiles in his little meeting with Donald Trump yesterday. And again, I'm trying not to be giddy. Okay, I'm trying not to. But he was just all smiles, shaking hands, welcome back. Wait. This is the guy that's been calling Donald Trump, you know, Hitler, essentially, and how we're all Nazis and we're all just the worst thing than threat to democracy and, you know, all the nasty things that this guy has said over the last 4 years about Donald Trump. And now he's just happy-go-lucky, all smiles, welcoming Donald Trump back to the White House? Really? It just goes to show you, folks, these people have no soul. They are absolutely willing to say or do anything. There is no limit to their lies, and there is no limit to their fake, plastic, whatever it takes to be loved and to have power. That's what we're talking about here. That's Joe Biden, all right? and maybe just simply out of spite because he's so mad that they pushed him off the stage, tackled him and removed him. Or maybe he really is just so far out to lunch that he's just smiling and shaking hands with whoever sits next to him. I don't think it's that bad. I think he is actually glad that Harris lost. I think he is actually glad that he essentially got to say to, you know, to the Democrats, hey, if you shouldn't have kicked me off the stage, I would have won. I was ahead in the polls. That's what he's going to at least think. Anyway, I had to laugh. I just so enjoyed that very short little get-together reunion as they shook hands and smiled, and Joe Biden was just so jovial. But it just goes to show you, he never believed Donald Trump was a threat to America. He never believed that we were, you know, that January 6th was the worst day since, you know, Pearl Harbor and all of this. I mean, these people, I'm telling you, they just have no soul. They are willing to say or do anything. And that's why they must be defeated. They must be removed from office. And we must do the hard work to make sure they cannot fool the American people into their positions again. That means you have to start teaching yourself and your friends and your family and everyone within your circle what the principles of liberty actually are, how to articulate them, and how to recognize the lie. If you have truth, you'll recognize the lie, but you got to be saturated in truth. You got to be saturated in God's word. You got to be saturated in the application of God's word to the society in which you live, which is why we teach a course called Biblical Citizenship in Modern America. Biblical citizenship. So you're being a good steward, you're being a good citizen in the nation in which you live, you're doing it in a biblical way, but you have to understand the laws and the rules of the nation in which you are, you know, have been planted, and that's what we do at Patriot Academy. So make sure you go take one of those biblical citizenship classes and open your home and invite others over and teach it to them as well. But all right, let's get to some more of these nominees that the president has already rolled out in just 8 days. I'm still pinching myself. 8 days in, they were ready to hit the ground running. This is such a good sign that on January 20th, hopefully there will be a slew of immediate actions at literally 12:01. All right, 888-589-8840 if you want to call in. Of course, one of the ones that stands out, or that people initially scratching their heads wondering what's going on here, is Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, has been nominated to be the Secretary of Homeland Security. And by the way, when I say nominated, I love the way Trump is doing these announcements. You know, he's putting out these press releases, essentially, or he's not even calling them that. He's just calling them statements. He's putting out these statements, and he's not saying, you know, I nominate so-and-so, I hope the Senate will approve them. He's saying so-and-so will serve as the next whatever. He is assuming the win. He is assuming the sale, if you will, for those of you that are in sales out there, and he is absolutely moving forward. And I think he'll find a way to do it. Now, he's already said that on the Senate Majority Leader thing, he wanted someone that would do recess appointments. I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this. I am not a fan of the recess appointments. I think that is uncool. I think Republicans and Democrats both have abused that over the last few decades. That the recess appointment clause in the Constitution was intended to be for when you had someone resign or die or not be able to do their job, and Congress wasn't going to be meeting for 6, 8, 9, 10 months, because they used to only meet for, you know, a few weeks a year, essentially, a couple of months maybe. And so if you had a position was going to be vacant for months and months and months and months and months, then you could do a recess appointment. That makes sense. That's the proper function of that appointment process. I am not a fan of waiting till Congress leaves town for the weekend and then sneaking through appointments that you couldn't get approval for. So I'm just going to say that right up front. I'm not a fan of that. Now, I realize we're in, you know, not desperate times, but pretty close to desperate times, as the Marxists have taken over so many of our agencies, and we desperately need to get in there and clean house and stop the corruption. We're, you know, literally jailing people and all of that. So I get it. I get it. You got to do extraordinary measures sometimes. And so, you know, maybe I can be convinced to expand that recess appointment power a little bit in this unique circumstance. But I'm not sure. I want to have more civil discourse on that one before January 20th gets here. My preference would be, obviously, that the Constitution be followed to the letter, and that, you know, he get these nominations out early like he's doing, and actually get the Senate to go ahead and start having, if nothing else, informal hearings and discussions, and go ahead and start counting your votes. And then day one at January 20th at 12:01, convince the Senate to immediately meet and approve that whole list. Don't go through these long, drawn-out hearings about these folks. You've got plenty of time to do your homework, and it's not like they're unknowns. Everybody is well aware of who Tom Homan is, and he's testified in front of Congress many, many times. Everybody's well aware of who Christine Ohm is. She served in Congress for three terms, so they know her well there. And then, of course, as governor, she's been very vocal. So speaking of Christine Ohm, just real quick running down this one because a lot of people are wondering why Secretary of Homeland Security kind of expected her to be appointed to something in the cabinet, but this one was a surprise. I think, again, Trump is playing chess. Think about the tag team that Christine Ohm and Tom Homan will be. I mean, Tom Homan is absolutely a bulldog. He is a Winston Churchill, obnoxious, in your face. I don't care what you think. I'm going to get this job done because the fate of the free world is at stake. Western civilization is being destroyed, and I don't care if I step on your toes. My intent is to stomp on them. All right. I love that. I think that's exactly what's needed for the border czar. So Tom Homan is the perfect choice to do that. Get it done. Don't apologize. Don't be polite. You get in there and do what needs to be done to save this nation. And then Kristi Noem, as Secretary of Homeland Security, will be working side by side with him. Kristi, as a governor, is very good at articulating why we need the bulldog and why we're doing what we're doing. And she'll be very good at going out there and explaining to the American people what's going on. And she's, you know, good manager. She's somebody that's done a good job as governor. She did a great job during COVID. She, you know, was the only one to not shut down. And I realize there were some wonderful legislative leaders in South Dakota that really helped make that happen. And some tell me that they actually made her do it, that she was wanting to shut down. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there. I've never talked to her about it, but it's certainly the perception was, and she was definitely the only one not to shut down. And clearly, had the big, what am I trying to say? The big rodeo event was the first sporting event in the country, big open event. I remember her riding in with the American flag and on her horse. It was just awesome. And then did the big July 4th celebration with President Trump. So anyway, I think she's just a great pick for what needs to be done and the ability to go out there and sell it to the American people, explain it to the press, and manage that agency. We'll see. On the other reasons, I'm not entirely sure. Okay, now, a couple other ones, and we'll go to the phones. But Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to be co-heads of this DOGE, this Department of Government Efficiency. This is really exciting, folks. I'm not sure how it's going to work. I have the same questions you do about, you know, what's the official title here, and official, it's not an actual agency. It's not, you know, I kind of like the fact that they're not being put in the position of, say, Office of Budget and Management or something like that, that would normally kind of deal with these types of things. There's no box for them. I'm hoping that he gives them carte blanche. I'm hoping he says, hey, you go after any area of the federal government that you think you can make more efficient, and then you bring that plan back to me. Now, obviously, they can't go in and officially fire people or shut down an agency. What they do is they go in, they figure out what, you know, would be the best way to deal with that particular agency or situation, and then they make that recommendation to the president. I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to work. But then they would be the ones to go to Congress and testify in committee and say, here's why we think this will work. They'll lay out the plan, and both of them will be outstanding at that. Incredible. This is just dream team stuff right here. And so I think that piece is going to be beautiful. I think they can move very quickly. And frankly, you know, they need to move quickly, because when you talk about cutting $2 trillion out of the budget, when you talk about what Elon Musk is saying, which I 100% agree with, to go from 400 and whatever agencies down to 99 or less, I am 100% in agreement with him on that. But to do that, you're going to have to slice and dice fast, because all of those dead weight employees, all of the people that are living off of the government through those agencies and getting the handouts and getting the contracts and all, they're all going to be lobbying. They're all paying off their friends in Congress right now. They're doing everything they can to keep those agencies alive and keep those positions. So they're going to have to move. Vivek and Elon are going to have to move extremely fast. And then President Trump and the leaders in the House and Senate are going to have to move very fast to actually make those kind of cuts. This will be unheard of in not only our lifetimes, really in American history, that these types of cuts have been made. Ronald Reagan failed at this. He wanted it. It was one of his big three. He already cut taxes, rebuild the military and patriotism, and cut spending, reduce the swamp, you know, drain the swamp, reduce the federal bureaucracy. He didn't get any of that last one done. And we're talking about big, big changes here that I actually think can happen. I mean, I've been around this a long time. I've been doing this 30 years, and I have never felt so confident that the big changes that we started talking about in our Constitution classes 15 years ago, that we've been teaching at Patriot Academy 24 years now. So these are things we've dreamed about. These are things that we have said should be done. These are things that we've taught these young leaders to do. And some of them are now in Congress and can help make this happen. But I guess I'm just pinching myself because I guess it was a big part of me that didn't think I would live to see it. I thought this was one of those things where I was planting trees I would not enjoy the shade of, that I would, you know, I would be dead and gone by the time those trees were big enough to throw off some shade, but my children and grandchildren would benefit from it. And yet we are on the cusp of seeing it happen in our lifetimes. That is super, super exciting. One more appointee, and then I'll go to the phones, 888-589-8840. We'll try to get one in before the break. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. I don't think Tuesday when I was on the air this and when it had happened yet. Maybe it had. I love Pete. I think Pete's going to be great. I've had him on my show. I've read a couple of his books. I think he's phenomenal. And some people are completely, you know, saying, well, he hasn't been in a management position, or he hasn't done this, or he hasn't all this kind of stuff. Listen, this guy has a great head on his shoulders. He's got a tremendous resume. I think actually he will be fantastic. And this again is to upset the apple cart, to say to the Pentagon, a massive bureaucracy, no more business as usual. We're coming in and doing this thing different. And I've said for a couple of years now, Trump, if he wins, is going to have to go in and wipe out all the leadership at the Pentagon. He's going to have to fire all of the generals that have brought in all this woke nonsense, that forced the jab on all these people that lost their, you know, lost their careers because of it. I mean, all the nasty stuff that we've talked about, somebody's going to have to, you know, revamp that. And I think Pete Hegseth is a great choice for being able to do that. Okay, let's try to get one in before we go to break. Phil in Texas, you're our first caller of the day. What's your comment, question, or insult, Phil? It's all yours, man.
Well, I'm all excited with you. I think it's very encouraging what's going on, but one more very important word, caution. Let's please be praying for President Trump's safety
The
safety of these other good, conservative, solid Christian people, because the left would do anything to wipe them out.
Yeah, man. No doubt, Phil. Actually, you know, fantastic point, 100%. We've been telling everybody to be vigilant throughout the transition, that during this transition time, it is vitally important that you pray not only for President Trump's safety, but for this transition team to have the wisdom and the discernment and the courage to do exactly what they're doing, which is to put the right team in place and to protect those members that already, because I guarantee you there's no doubt all the attacks you can think of are going to be coming at Matt Gaetz and Tulsi Gabbard and Lee Zeldin and all these other people that have been appointed. But to the point, obviously they've tried to kill Donald Trump multiple times, probably the most sought after assassination, maybe in the history of our, certainly in the history of our country, maybe in the history of mankind. So there's a lot of people that would like to take him out and love to see him taken out. And there's going to, I'm sure, be efforts. And so I think God has already, it's obvious that God has saved him, at least twice, but I think many, many times attempts to take him out have been thwarted. So those prayers matter. Everybody needs to keep lifting him up. That ought to just be part of our daily prayer, protection and health and all of those things. Because to see this thing through, man, this is huge. And an unbelievable stamina this guy throughout the campaign. He's going to need that for 4 years to see this through. And honestly, 2 years. We've got 2 years to really make these kind of big changes. And it coincides perfectly with the 250th birthday of the country, which we might talk a little bit about when I come back. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. You might have a thought on some of the nominees or just the big changes coming. And we'll have a lot more for you when we come back from the break. Stay with us. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
What's your reputation? Kind? Generous? Shy? Rick Robertson says it would be wonderful to have the reputation of being someone who did things that were right in God's eyes. Of course, our best example of that is Jesus. And in the article in The Stand called A Soul Refreshing Rain, Rick helps us see how Jesus' attributes can change our daily lives. Visit afa.net/thestand and read A Soul Refreshing Rain today. afa.net/thestand.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, this is Edward Graham, and I've got a great idea for you this Christmas. Through Operation Christmas Child, you can share hope with a child in need. Fill a shoebox with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Add your picture and an encouraging note. We'll deliver your shoebox gift to a child alongside the greatest gift of all, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to get involved. That's SamaritansPurse.org/OCC.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, November 18th through the 25th. You can also build a shoebox online. And the best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift. And each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
I'm Rick Scarborough, and this is My Take. Question: when was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Pray for an opportunity to share your faith on a regular basis, and ask someone today, if you were to stand before God and he were to ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? Most will give some form of, "I've tried to live a good life." But if good works could get you into heaven, heaven would be just like earth, filled with egomaniacs bragging about the house they built with their good works. But in heaven, everyone there will be bowing to Jesus and saying, "I'm here because of him." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And what about you? Have you received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? I'm Rick Scarborough, and that's My Take.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, talking about the nominees from President Trump, just a slew of them already in just 8 days. I forgot to mention that the Republicans secured the House. Number 218, the number for a majority, was declared by AP at 10:30 last night. It was actually 7 or 8, I'm sorry, not before last, you know, a little earlier by, was it Fox? I can't remember who the first one to call it was. Anyway, bottom line is the race that was called was Juan Ciscomani in Arizona, who happens to be a Patriot Academy grad. He was actually governor of Patriot Academy years ago and on our board, and just a great guy. He and his wife, Laura, actually started our regional Patriot Academies out in Arizona, was the first one, and then Idaho. And anyway, just a fantastic guy, thrilled and just poetic that he's number 218 to secure the majority. So if you want to see more like that, and you want to see us basically just I think 10,000 candidates is the number to really turn America around. And so we're working hard to raise up citizens that want to go lead, citizens that want to be the catalyst for a restoration of biblical values and constitutional principles. And we've got a lot of great ways to do that. But one of the new ways, we are launching the Patriot Experience. And that is an opportunity to come in and essentially experience all the things that make a constitutional republic work. You get to be a legislator for a few days and in committee and on the House floor, and you get to, you know, learn how to identify legislation as being, you know, limited government or not. Does it protect individual liberties or not? Is it supportive of free enterprise and protect our timeless truths? Anyway, we teach you how to do all that, teach you how to testify in committee, But you actually live the life of a legislator for a couple of days and get good constitution training. We teach communication skills, how to get up in front of the room and speak. I mean, all of that for in the Patriot Experience. Plus, if you want to stay over and do a handgun defense class, you can do that while you're at our campus. But we're going to launch this December 10th, which is coming up pretty quick. So if you are interested in attending one of those, make sure you go to our website, patriotacademy.com, patriotacademy.com. And learn more. I started talking about that because I was thinking about Juan and all the other Patriot Academy grads that are serving. You know, we got Elias Coop Gonzalez in West Virginia, won his reelection. He's only 22, 23 years old, number one conservative voting record in West Virginia, the two sessions that he's had so far. He was reelected. We've got other legislators across the country, hundreds of school boards, city council, county commissioners, all that. But we need 10,000. So you got to help us get there. And we got to get there by July 4th, 2026, the 250th birthday of the nation. So this window, I keep saying the window's been cracked. We got to shove it open in this window of opportunity. We've got to take ground back. We got to restore truth, justice, and the American way. And you can help us do that. Go to patriotacademy.com today and learn more and become a part of the solution. Okay, let's get back to the phones. How about going to Texas, of course? Callie in Texas, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I did have a little concern about Kristi Noem's potential nomination, just regarding the amount of land, not only in South Dakota, but other states that's owned by foreign governments. And I know there was a bill proposed earlier this year about foreign nations owning land, but do you think that she's going to do anything about the land that's already owned by our, China and North Korea and Russia and Venezuela?
I don't know. It's a good question, Callie. I know I was slow to come around on this one because I'm a free market guy, and initially it's like, I don't want the government getting involved in every land transaction and determining whether or not the buyer has any ties to a foreign country or whatever. However, I recognize that it's needed. There is a concentrated effort by China to buy up as much land in America as possible, and they're doing a lot of that. And so I know Texas had a bill on this. I can't remember if it passed or not, and I do not recall whether or not there was one in South Dakota or if she was for or against it. I think it's definitely should be on the radar. I don't know what her position is on it, but it's definitely, I think there's a heightened sense of awareness and more of a need to do something on that than even just two or three or four years ago. I guess we'll see, but I'm not sure. I mean, do you know if her position is for or against?
I knew that Smithfield Farms owns a big pork, one of their processing plants is in South Dakota, but it's also in like 32 other places in the United States. And, I had heard on another AFR program that they said that she allowed, some Chinese investors and other investors to tour certain agricultural lands. I don't know, if that was true or not. I just had heard that. But I know she was for not having foreign countries own, land, because for this past year with that bill that they had proposed.
Yeah.
So her stance as of this year is not to have them own our land, which would, we don't own land in Russia. We don't own land, other places. But it seems like America, we open a lot up for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's quite that cut and dry, honestly. I mean, I think we have to be careful because, we do own land in other countries. I mean, we let individuals in America own land in other countries, and certainly individuals from other countries own land here. And you want to have as much of a free market as possible. It's when it gets to the point where it's literally a national security threat and you literally have attempts to manipulate our food supply and those kind of things, which I think it is. So, in other words, I'm saying you're raising a very important issue. I think you're right to raise the issue. I think it is an issue. I just don't think it's as easy. I don't think it's as easy as saying just don't let anybody from any foreign entities own land in America, because that would be very difficult to do, and we wouldn't want to anyone from America to be prevented from owning land in other places. So I'm not sure what the perfect solution is, but I am absolutely for not allowing our food supply to be interrupted. But that threat also, by the way, comes from not just China, but the Marxists in America, the leftists that have controlled our government for the last few years. They have tried to manipulate our food supply as well, and they've used this absurd fake science climate change hoax to try to shut down much of our cattle operation. They're doing that all over the world. It's just, it's crazy what they're doing. And so it's not just from China on that front. It's also people here. So we just got to use some common sense and certainly get back to those basic principles of liberty, which is why I hesitate to say absolutely don't let anybody from China own land. I think we got to be a little bit more careful about it, but absolutely something should be done. I hate to dance around on that, but it's because I don't know what the right balance is there. I think that needs to be hotly debated. Civil discourse will get us to the right balance, and there'll be a perfect solution. Not perfect, but there will be a good solution. And I do think she's the type of person that is willing to engage in that kind of study and discourse and push for the right balance. And certainly Donald Trump's going to have very strong feelings about it, and she's going to be loyal to the agenda that he lays out as the boss. All right, let's go see. Brian's actually also in Texas. Sorry, folks, going to Texas a couple times in a row here. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to say the point, you may have already talked about it, but it's the negativity of the loyalty comments that they keep saying all over the news, that Donald Trump is only picking people that are loyal. And I go back to that and I think, okay, number one, when you get married, I mean, don't you want someone that's loyal that's going to stay with you? It's a good thing. Loyalty is a bad thing. Loyalty is a good thing. And it's rich. I find it really rich that the people that would cover up for Biden being their loyalists or his loyalists are the ones that are trying to make loyalty now seem like it's a bad thing. You know, we can't have these loyalists like Matt Gaetz. He's just the loyal. That's what Trump wants around him. And they said it nice last night on Gutfeld. The guy's been shot. Don't you think he deserves to have loyal people around him that are going to help protect him?
Yeah. 100% agree, Brian. Absolutely right. I mean, obviously you want loyal and competent people, which I think he's absolutely choosing. And I think Donald Trump learned his lesson in the first term when he ended up with a bunch of people that undermined his agenda, that actually stabbed him in the back and didn't help him accomplish what he ran for, but actually undermined those things. And there was so many of those in his cabinet last time. And I just don't think he's going to make that mistake this time. And that's why the loyalty thing is a major factor. And I completely agree with you. I think it's a good thing, not a bad thing. All right, let's head over to Louisiana. Buddy, you're up next, man. You got it. Go ahead.
Hey, I had a first for our president and for our president-elect, and praying for his safety, of course. And I'm very excited about all the agenda, but I'm praying also for his heart, that this unbridled, unchecked power that he now has because of all of the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court, that it won't turn into unbridled rage, and that it will be that he'll keep his calm agenda and not be vindictive.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to pray for, man. I think there's no doubt. I mean, for any elected official, anybody in any position of power, even the lowest level, you know, local bureaucrat or local mayor or whatever, all the way up to president, that they do not become full of pride and professing themselves to be wise become fools. And in his case, you know, look, the guy is definitely a bit narcissistic. Everything revolves around Trump, and everything is from Trump's perspective. But you know, that was Winston Churchill as well. And a lot of other leaders in history that were actually very effective. So, yeah, let's definitely pray for him to his heart to stay right. I think one of the good things is we do have a good system of checks and balances, and you can bet that those other branches will be pushing back if he were to do what you're talking about. So I think there are a lot of good signs right now that your concern would not happen, but absolutely we need to pray that it doesn't. And by the way, one other thing back on this whole thing about loyalty and some of these appointees. Let's not forget that JFK, a Democrat, appointed his own brother, who was only 35 years old, to Attorney General of the United States. 35 years old, Robert F. Kennedy appointed to be Attorney General and his chief advisor and right there with him all the way up to the assassination of JFK. Turned out to be a good appointment. I thought he did. You know, you look back at some of the things that they accomplished together and how they dealt with the Cuban Missile Crisis and lots of other things. I mean, The loyalty factor was important and it paid off. And I think Donald Trump's thinking about that as well. Okay, let's go back to Texas. Jerry in Texas, you're up next.
I just want to say that the sweet irony is not lost on me that the current president, senile Joe Biden, had to certify President Trump in his first election. And now when it comes to certifying the next election in January, not only is it the current vice president, but it was the person that he beat out for office will have to open every one of those electoral counts and certify him as the next president. I hope the irony's not lost on others. But
I love it.
I'll let you go on that.
I love it, Jerry. Absolutely, man. It's we'll see if she has as big a smile on her face as President Biden did yesterday when they met. I don't think so, but maybe. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's head over to Mississippi. Scott in Mississippi, you're up next.
Hey, Rick, love your show, man. I wanted to say, first of all, that your giddiness is just oozing through the radio speakers, and I'm right there with you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Secondly, I just wanted to say, and I got this from Tony Perkins. I heard him preach a sermon one time, and he said this. He said, how do you know, and he's talking about the deep swamp, how do you know which pig in the pig pen was hit by the rock when you throw it in there? And it's by the one that you hear squealing. So I say that to say this. Watch these nominations, and when they're up for confirmation, watch these rhinos and how they vote. That's going to be a telltale sign of who's who. And I think that, and they need to be held accountable during this whole process. And that's what we need to have a spotlight on these people, because now is the time that we need to do what Trump was elected to do. And we all need to support him and pray for him. And anyway, that's really all I have to say, and I appreciate it.
Now, Scott, good call, man. Good call on all points. Absolutely agree. And, you know, that's another thing to keep in mind, folks, as you're praying for the transition team, as you're praying for President Trump and all the people that are, frankly, going to be moving to Washington, D.C. to do this. And I mentioned Tuesday, you know, it's a big sacrifice to go work and for this 4-year period or 2-year period or whatever they've agreed to do as they get hired and they get appointed and they go through this transition and get there, and it's a toll on the families. And so I encourage you to pray for all of the people that are right now making big changes in their life to go serve our nation and to turn this thing around. And I understand that a lot of people that do that, it's an ego thing and they just want to be close to power and they want to be in the seat of power and all that. That's totally true, Republican and Democrat alike. But I know a lot of these people that are headed that way, and they are good people that really are sacrificing to do this. They're gonna give up positions of influence and power that they have back home. They're gonna spend time away from their family. They're gonna put themselves in the limelight and in the target zone, and they're doing it to save our country. So I just think it's important for us to keep in mind the families that are going to bear the burden, the all of the individuals that are going to take on these positions, and let's just pray that their marriages will be protected, that their children that are probably many of them at that age where it'd be a lot better if mom and dad both were around a lot more, and it's just part of this situation. We're at war. And if your dad was going off to war in World War II for a couple of years, it wouldn't be good for the family, but it would be necessary to save the nation. And that's what's happening with a lot of these folks that are going. And so please keep them in mind, pray for them, and keep praying for our country. I'm Rick Green. Thanks so much for listening today. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
The American Family Association, informing, equipping, and activating.